This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
That's probably Facebook.
Gosh, good afternoon. And welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL-FM in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region. And we're also live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And we have a packed show for you again, as usual. Shortly, we'll be in with Chef Patrick from Lakes Region Community College. And today's topic is Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
See, I could talk about that any time of the year. And I know
so
you could too, right?
Can I? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And he has some food with him too. We've had like food this week.
Yeah, we really have.
Yummy.
But before we get into all that, I do want to mention that you are invited to join the Pulse as we broadcast live this Friday. Not us, but the New Hampshire Wake Up Show will be live for the grand opening of Sear Lumber and Home Center right off exit 7 off I-89 in Warner. Wow, that's great. Peter St. James has to roll out of bed and walk about 30 steps. He'll be at the broadcast. And we'll be there live this Friday. They will. The grand opening takes place all weekend with huge store-wide savings on most items, and they are giving away a Weber gas grill. Nice. Check out the new Sear Lumber and Home Center in Warner, broadcasting live. The New Hampshire Wake Up Show is there this coming Friday, so that will be a good time. It's good to get out once in a while, take the show on the road, and I guess we're doing the Hippo Taco Challenge.
We are. We're going to be broadcasting it. Well, not at a special. We're going to do it in addition to our regular show.
Right.
But, yes, we'll be doing it from 6 to 7:30.
Actually, I believe it's 6:30 to 8 because
6:30 to 8.
We cover the
News
9 broadcast. 6:30, no David Muir. You got us. Carol and Mike.
That's
street
right.
level up on Elm as thousands walk by to sample all the great tacos. It's the Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge.
Should be fun.
Pretty close to that. All right, I need advice right now.
Uh-oh.
And so let's open the phones. Maybe somebody can help me with this. Carol, I totally forgot that Chef Patrick was coming in today and that he would be probably bringing us food, as we know the Cinco de Mayo thing.
Mm-hmm.
So at home, I actually made myself a lunch that I left on the kitchen counter.
Oh, well, that works out perfectly.
Well, it does. But here's my question. Part of my lunch was a tuna fish sandwich.
Okay.
And I, as a kid, I remember bringing sandwiches like tuna and egg salad and bologna and everything else that Mom would make probably at 7 in the morning, and
I know what you're going to ask.
So I'm wondering, because times have kind of changed about how we look at that. By the time I get home at about 2:30, the sandwich will be sitting out on the counter for 3.5 hours or in a bag that I put it in. Here's the question. At 866-823-1077, can somebody give me advice? Is it safe to eat? Should I eat my 3.5-hour-old tuna sandwich, or should I throw it in the trash?
I will hold my answer.
Hold your answer. Let's see if anybody can help me with that. As it turns out, lunch is not needed today because Chef Patrick will be sharing. And we just saw him in the green room, and there's all kinds of great things that he's bringing that have a Cinco de Mayo blend or feel to them. But I just need to know from anybody out there, whether you're a nutritionist, a doctor, or just a crazy person like me.
Again, 866-823-1077. It's a good thing Chef Patrick's here because I wasn't sharing my cucumbers and tomatoes and hummus. It's over here.
And you do occasionally.
I'm just kidding.
I know. You're like one of the most generous people I know. So
I would have hooked you up to Midtown. She has some delicious
chicken noodle soup today.
So.
I know. So it may be a moot point. But while we're waiting for advice to flow in from our vast listening audience, which I think we have a caller standing by.
Do.
Who do we have?
We have Paul from Dunbarton.
Paul from Dunbarton. Dude, help me out here. Should I be eating that tuna fish sandwich later today?
Well, Mike, first of all, let me ask you a question. Do you have a cat?
I do not have a cat, and I think that tells me
all
what
right,
I need to know.
That rules that out. What'd you leave the temperature at in the house?
The house is right around 70 degrees, and it was a warm can. I opened it up and mixed it in with some Hellmann's and some chopped onions. And then I put it in a baggie, and it's just sitting there on top of my salad. So it will have been room temperature, essentially, right from the start.
I'm a gambling man. I'd eat it as long as it's not sitting in the sun.
Yeah, that's not the case. And Carol is shaking her hand as well. Because, Paul, when you were a youngster, did your mom make sandwiches for you to take to school that you would eat four,
oh, sure,
five, 6 hours
course,
later?
Yeah.
And you survived.
Family of 10 kids, yeah. We all went to school with lunches.
So your mom was responsible for making 10? Well, of course, not all of you were probably in school at the time, at the same time.
At one point, yes.
Wow.
Holy Toledo. And yep. Did she make the sandwiches the night before? Or did she have a production line going?
They were made the night before. They were put in the refrigerator with your name on the brown paper bag.
And cool. Did everybody get the same thing so there would be no petty jealousy, or did you sometimes check your sister's bag?
Oh, no, there was no individuality. Everybody got the same thing.
And what's
you'll
the best?
You'll eat it and you'll like it.
And what was your favorite lunch that Mom made that if you could today, you'd
okay.
like?
Yeah, but now back then it was always the PB&J.
Okay.
You know what I remember, Paul? I'm haunted by my mother's used to pack me pimento.
Oh yes, the pimento. Oh. Yes, people always tell me it was bologna gone bad.
All right. So, bottom line, you think it's okay, and if I go home and I eat it and I drop dead, I promise I will not have my estate sue you.
Tune in tomorrow, Paul.
Yeah. Thank I got a tuna in tomorrow, Paul. I guess she made a funny.
That's great, Carol.
Right.
Paul,
all right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, too, but I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Oh, my gosh. It's fine.
I'm such a weenie.
It is going to be fine.
It is?
Yes, it's going to be fine. I'm anxious to see what Chef Patrick says about it. But
yeah, because I do want to ask him as well.
You know, I smell it. Make sure. I mean, if it's going to be not good, it'll smell wrong, I would think.
Yeah, and after 3.5 hours, I don't think it would start to smell bad yet.
Correct.
I hope not.
But I mean, if you were asking this question like in July, I would say no. But
the temperature is going to be the same in my house all the time. With the AC going, it's going to be 70 degrees in July, just like it is 70 today
then,
with the heat on.
If it was July, I'd still say yes then.
Yeah. Anybody else there, or should we move on? Anybody?
There is no one else.
All right.
But
so
maybe you never.
Paul
know.
Paul answered it definitively.
He did. I think so. But
and tomorrow I will answer what I had in place of it on my way in, but because it ties in with something else I wanted to talk about today. But we don't want to spend too much time on that.
Right.
Remind me tomorrow.
Okay.
Will. Something brand new.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to make a note. Yeah. Ask Mike.
That's if I don't die. I mean, if I die
that's
today.
That's right. If, you know. Some,
you know.
We shouldn't say stuff like that. That's
oh,
not
sure
cool.
We should.
No.
It's good drama. That's Radio 101. Good drama. Gosh. Conflict. Yes, Carol, take
my
word for it.
I'll take it. All right.
What's our food holiday?
Food
what else
holiday
you got going
today
on?
Is National Shrimp Scampi Day.
Yum. Now, can you leave shrimp out in the sun for 3 hours and then eat it?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. But I'm not a big shrimp person. I mean, I like it.
There's
it's
so
not
few
that
calories
I don't
in it.
Like it.
Yeah.
True.
But you always put something on it, like, well, in this particular case, scampi, which I think is what butter and stuff, isn't it?
It's like butter and garlic.
Oh, my God, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it does sound good. It does sound good, but it's really not my kind of.
Tomorrow, well, actually, Friday is the start of May. And for Comedy Cold Cuts, I've already got it all laid out. It is National Hamburger Month.
Ooh.
And I found some really funny comedy routines having to do with hamburger. Yeah,
I'll have to listen.
You'll be no. If you're on a little vacay, you are not allowed to listen to the radio and think about work. No calling the diners. How's the drive-thru doing?
I don't call the diners. That's definite. I never do that. But no, I may listen. You never know.
Okay.
You never know.
Well, you know, did you know you can hear us around the world, Carol, on the World Wide Web.
WTPLFM.com.
Love that.
Do you know that today in history, back in 1913, the zipper was patented? And do you know that most checked
Let
chef
me check
pants,
mine. Okay, it's up. Thank you.
The zipper was patented by Gideon Sundback, and most checkered chef pants still have buttons.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
They do.
That can't be convenient. especially when you're running a busy kitchen and you say, I got 48 seconds now before this bologna is done. I got to go and get back in time. Plus, wash my hands. All employees must wash hands before returning to the kitchen.
Employees.
Do you have one of those signs up in your restaurant?
If you don't have a sign up, you get marked off for that.
Oh, it's
with
it's
the health
the law?
Department. Oh, yeah. The health department comes
good.
And Nazi lady.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Ours is very nice.
Well, we'll remove that comment in post-production, Carol. Don't worry about it.
You know, it's kind of funny because when the health department lady comes in, it's funny because she'll walk in the front door and I'm assuming it's a she. The last couple have been she's, but they do rotate them. They definitely rotate them. But when she walks in the front door of the diner, because she always comes in the front door, the whole communication ring starts.
Oh,
one of the
really?
Girls will see her, grab the phone, call into the kitchen. Health department lady's here. Then the kitchen will tell the manager, health department lady's here. And then everybody will like scramble into the walk-in and scramble underneath and just make sure, you know,
how
things
often,
are covered. And
how often do they?
It's every 6 months.
Every six
so
months.
So we know about when she's coming.
Right. And but does everybody that works the front of the house know what she looks like? Or
pretty
he,
much.
Or do they announce?
No, they don't
Hello,
announce.
Hello, this is,
They
you
never
know.
Announce. She has her badge on and we just know her. And you know when they're there.
Yeah, I remember this must have been 5-6 years ago. They actually printed all the scores from the Manchester restaurants from the health department. And I thought that was pretty interesting and pretty revealing. And honestly, I wish they would do that again, although I don't know how restaurant people feel about it.
You know, from a restaurant owner's perspective, I can tell you that, you know, how we feel, you know, a lot of times when she comes in, it's on a Friday at noon. Okay.
Oh, like the busiest part of the week.
Friday at noon, it is busy. There's a line out the door. I mean, you know, and some of the things are, you know, she knows we're not doing it. Some of the things that they mark you for is just crazy stuff. And it's almost like they have to mark you because you can never get 100. I mean, they just never get 100. They barely ever give hundreds.
Okay.
And it's just, I don't know, from a business perspective, you know, if you read a bad mark, depends on what the mark would be. I mean, if it's a critical and it's something seriously wrong that they've ignored for a long time, okay, I can understand that. Most of the time, it's not that, and it's crazy stuff. So from a business owner perspective, I know how that can sometimes hurt, and it's not what it really is.
Okay.
It really isn't. So,
well,
with that being said.
They haven't put it in the paper again for
I know.
A couple
I thought
years.
They were going to be putting
Transparency
it in the paper.
Is a good thing, and if you're a restaurant that's always doing a good job, then you want to be in there, I
of
would
course.
Think.
Good
incentive.
I think definitely. But I do know sometimes, you know, when people do read it, they just assume and, you know, and it's not, just like when Tom Boucher was here and we were talking about Yelp.
Yes.
It's not a true, you know, they're not all 100% right. That's why Critic is there and, you know, so on and so forth, because it can really hurt.
Well, I'm hoping that the woman who is with the health department does not come to my house today, because there will be 3.5-hour-old tuna on my counter.
And that would probably be that would definitely be a critical. That's a 10 point.
But I don't have a sign up in my bathroom that says all employees must wash hands before returning to their workstation.
Oh, boy. All right. I think we're going to go on a break.
We're having too much fun
already.
You
know, I love this part of it. And, you know, at the beginning, it was like, what are we going to talk about? But there's always something
You kidding me? We both have stacks of stuff we never get to.
I have so
That's
many
why I had to hurry up and blurt out my tuna story.
Well, you know, we're not going to do it now, but I'm sure at some point during the show we'll be able to. But do you know what the new thing is right now? It's like a trending thing.
Guacamole.
Well, guacamole because it's Cinco de Mayo, but no.
What?
You know how my mason jar salads?
Yes, yes.
Sheet pan dinners.
Oh. Sheet pan, like shepherd pie is kind of a layered.
No, not like that. That's like a casserole.
Okay.
That would be like a casserole. Right. No, sheet pan dinners. Mm-hmm. So it's quick. You have just one pan, and if you put parchment paper on the bottom, and I have like three awesome recipes for a sheet pan dinner.
Wow.
So you just get it done, bing, bang, just like that.
I want to know about that when we have some
more time. It's
kind of
cool. I read that on Thrillist. But anyway,
that must be true.
You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And coming up next, we have Chef Patrick Hall of Lakes Region Community College. You can check them out on the web at lrcc.com. And we are talking Cinco de Mayo. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Food for Thought on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. We are brought to you by Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now with the drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Also, the official decor of the Green Room is provided by Fallon's Furniture. Also, Food for Thought. That's us and Kale and Company. Kenny had a full house with two different sets of musicians, and was listening to it on my way home. And the sound is really good, considering we didn't really design the green room to be acoustically, I would say, proper, but it sounded pretty good actually. And Elliot outside of our studio on the Baby Grand yesterday sounded really good. So. It's entertainment, it's music, it's food, of course, every afternoon. And just one quick note, you've been hearing us talk about the Mother's Day contest. A little later on, we'll be taking more qualifiers after 2 o'clock. A grand prize winner, by the way, wins an overnight stay at the Gunstock Inn in Guildford, complete with dinner and spa services, as well as a $20 gift certificate to Express Jewelry Center on North Main. And you go into the grand prize drawing, which takes place on Friday morning the 8th, thanks to Express Jewelry and Gunstock Inn. Good stuff for Mother's Day, Carol.
Yes,
you're a mom.
Very much so. Very much so. I'm excited. I actually read in the paper, Casey's Rib Shack.
Yes.
They are doing free dinner that day for all mothers that come in. Isn't that cool?
That's very nice.
I read that to Daryl, and he's like, well, I guess we're going to Casey's.
That was an easy choice,
huh? I love Casey's, too, so yes. Just like Mexicans. So let's talk Cinco de Mayo now, and let's welcome on Chef Patrick Hall of Lakes Region Community College. We haven't seen you in studio for a couple weeks, so it's nice to see you.
I've been missing it, you know.
Again,
I enjoy our time here.
I do, too. We all do, and I'm sure that the listeners do, too, because... yes, it's fun and it's educational. And
any tip I can give out is the best.
All right, well then shall we go a bit we can move on. I need to put closure to for those that they have missed it. I made a tuna fish sandwich, completely forgetting that the chef would be here today, that I wouldn't have to pack a lunch. So I made a salad and then a tuna fish sandwich that I made from room temperature can with mayo and sliced onions, diced onions. Put it in a sandwich and forgot it there today. 11 o'clock is when I made it. 2:30 is when I get home. Chef, would you eat that sandwich, assuming that I had a proper sanitation at my counter?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would eat it. Here's the rule of thumb. I teach ServSafe certification.
Give him a little more volume there.
ServSafe certification for our school, and I certify people for sanitation and safety. So the rule of thumb is if you made like a batch of chili or anything, and you have to cool it down. You have 2 hours to get it down to 70 degrees and another additional 4 to get it underneath the temperature that you need. So. Yeah.
So I even have a little more time if I want to dance with death.
Yeah, you gotta put it inside the fridge and cool it down. You
know, yeah. So it should be okay tomorrow if I wanted to bring it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
See, I told you.
No, and I didn't doubt that, but you like to hear it from from listeners, from a professional chef.
Well, you know what rings in when you were asking that question? When we were kids and our mom used to make them early in the morning and we'd take them. I mean, there's so many things that we used to do that now, oh my gosh, you can't do them.
True.
You know what I mean?
Like spanking. Like, oh, that's a whole different show.
That is true. You're not allowed to spank your child. But did you see that mother on the
yes.
news with the Baltimore?
Yes. She is being called now the mother of the year by a lot of people who saw that at the riot. She showed up. She saw her son on TV. She smacked him across the face a couple times.
Oh, my gosh.
Read him the riot act and said, you're coming home with me. And she there's a handful of people that aren't pleased with how she handled it. But I'd say 90% of the comments I've seen, all in favor of what she did.
Yeah, and he listened, too. I mean, he was cowering and... You know, oh my goodness.
I'm supposed to be going to Baltimore in about another month, so hopefully that's all cleared
no
up.
Kidding.
I'm going down there for the restaurant scene because I guess there's a really good restaurant scene.
But in the Inner Harbor.
I'm seeing all this, and I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's a little ways from the Inner Harbor, which is, I'm going to guess, probably where you'll be going for a lot of your restaurant excursions.
They have a lot of farm to table restaurants there, I was looking at, and a really good food scene. And so I've never been.
You and your wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah
so
yeah.
a vacation going down to Baltimore.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
go.
We're kind of
working vacation.
We both turned 40 this year. So,
is that
kinda
right?
Moving down there and just going for a weekend. So I'm going to take her down there. I'm going to go out to the restaurants with some friends and you know, like I said, I've never been to Baltimore, but I'd love to travel around.
Have you been there? Have you been to Baltimore?
You know, just when you fly in and you stop at the airport and then you take
off
from
somewhere
there.
Else.
I think I'm going to Baltimore tomorrow.
Really?
Well,
we'll say a prayer for you.
Don't get off the plane.
Yeah. Well, Barb and I have gone to Baltimore on a couple of occasions for a weekend when the Red Sox playing the Orioles.
I heard it's a great scene to go down there.
And you know what? It is. It's almost cheaper than going to one game at Fenway after the parking. Yeah, flying too, because the you know, we have a Southwest credit card, so pretty much we don't pay to fly because you pay all your bills off through that. And I didn't get to explore all the culinary places, but you could definitely see it was a happening town revitalized in that section.
Yeah, it's and I was doing my research online and stuff, and I saw a bunch of different restaurants we want to go to. And like you said, there's that one whole section of town that's just like all farm to table.
Farm to table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Here's one other little bit of advice that somebody gave us on the plane flying down. It's only about not even an hour drive from Baltimore, Annapolis.
Oh, yeah?
Annapolis is, of course, the home of Navy, and the university, the college. And it's one of these little boutique towns overlooking the water with tons of really cool restaurants. We explored that more than we did Baltimore.
Wow. That's good advice.
Absolutely always go to Annapolis, Naval Academy. That's it.
Yeah. And I at least want to get some crab cakes while I'm down there.
Definitely. You got to check them out down there.
Yeah. So,
I'm not a huge crab cake person.
No. You know, it's one of those things.
I like them, but. Yeah. You know, but that would be the place definitely to try them.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, cool. But yeah, we're excited. So hopefully this is all cleared up by the time we get down there.
But we're looking at a Mexican theme today.
Yeah.
Look at the bright colors, Carol.
Right, they're beautiful.
Carol and I were emailing back and forth about Cinco de Mayo, and one of my earliest culinary experiences when I was 13 years old, first restaurant I ever started working in was a Mexican restaurant. So I started washing pots and pans. Eventually, I moved up to doing prep work. And then eventually I came, you know, I was run by the time I was 16 years old, I was running it, and it was pretty neat. It was a great
good
experience.
For you. Is that when you knew what you wanted to do?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So, it ended up working out very well for me. But I came away with some great recipes and stuff.
Well, I am eyeing. And you know, Mike, like you said, it is so colorful. Look at the salsa, how fresh and beautiful it
and
looks.
That's the key.
There's vegetables in it. It's not just a soup.
That's the key to Mexican food is fresh ingredients. It's actually, you know, a lot of it's pretty healthy for you. You can make it healthy for you.
And people always say, I hate spicy food. By nature, Mexican food is not spicy.
No.
It's what you add to it that is, right?
You can make it spicy. I mean, there's all sorts of chilies. None of these that I brought today are spicy, so I just kept it mild. Fresh ingredients. Like I said, once your garden starts get going, it's the best thing that you can do.
Let's talk about that guacamole, because that looks fabulous.
Now, and when you try this, you're gonna have tears coming from your face.
So this one is spicy.
No, it's you're just gonna taste so good that you're gonna cry. So
it's not the heat; it's the emotional response to it.
Don't blame me.
All right,
but, you know,
you tell. So these are these like recipes that the normal housewife or
household
very easy, household very easy. Yeah,
can make for Cinco de Mayo. They're gonna have a little Cinco de Mayo celebration. And you know what? Speaking of Cinco de Mayo, Puerto Vallarta is having a big celebration from 4 to 8 right outside of Puerto Vallarta on 2nd Street. And Rocco, our Monday
Integrity
Health Coaching Solutions guy, is going to be singing that night there. Well, so,
and I think that we wanted him to do a little singing possibly
on
next
Monday.
You won't be here, but we need to remind him to bring his guitar.
I will remind him.
All right.
I will do that. But anyway.
We digress.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's just. So I brought three things today. I brought some guacamole. And,
I'm testing them.
I brought some guacamole, and I brought some normal salsa fresca, which is kind of a fresh salsa. And then I also did a mango and pineapple and black bean salsa that's here. And one of the biggest things why I love salsas, and I think it's a big part of Mexican cuisine and culinary, is because they're so versatile. I mean, it's the first thing that you eat when you sit down at a Mexican restaurant, but at the same time, you know, like this salsa right here would go over some nice grilled grouper or swordfish or even salmon or anything like that.
Ooh.
or chicken. And I'm telling you, it's just if you know how to do it right. A lot of people are like so baffled by like, oh, how do I have a good salsa recipe? You know, what do you do? Once you learn how, you know, what you're doing as far as cooking wise, and you start learning your flavor profiles, salsa is some of the best things ever.
Take people, some chips.
It's almost like that comfort food.
Oh, that's for me? About. Oh, all right. Thanks.
You know, so. Like the comfort food, so I brought some pita chips, and I also bought some corn chips, some traditional corn chips that that we could go.
So with. I was in a younger part of my life married to a woman of Mexican heritage.
Oh wow!
So I was exposed early on to the real deal,
because
her mom cooked. Unfortunately, my ex-wife did not. I mean, she learned as time went along, but her mom's salsa to this day is probably my favorite, and it doesn't look unlike yours. You've got a little bit more to it in there.
Yeah. And what I do different types of salsas too. Like I'll do this one is, like I said, it's a salsa fresca is what it's called. So it's more chunky. It's got more tomatoes and it's got fresh cilantro. It's a fresh salsa, which people like oftentimes.
Almost looks like a relish or something.
Yeah. But if you took that and kind of blended it a little bit, there's also kind of like a thinner style of salsa that I also do, you know, for different dishes, you know, and it goes well. So just different textures and different shapes.
What do you think, Carol?
And everything else.
You know, Chef Patrick, that is like the best guacamole I've had.
Oh, well, thank you
it
very much.
It is delicious.
Yeah.
Now, my question, when I look at that, because they all look so beautiful, and I'm going to take a picture and it'll be posted on foodforthoughtnh.com. It'll be on there because these are so beautiful. You must chop them. You chop all that by hand?
Oh, yeah,
all by hand?
Yep. And, you know, one of the first things, I know I've said this on here before, one of the first things we teach our students is knife skills. So it's, you know, it's important, you know, how to hold a knife. So for safety, first of all, but also so everything looks even and uniform.
Well, I really thought maybe you used a food processor or something because it's so consistent.
Nope, all by hand, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I see. I could never do that.
And, you know, get it nice and in the shape that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But this is exactly what I love about it because you take a look at it and it's just like you're like, wow, it's so colorful. But you can make all the different salsas. Like you could do like a papaya salsa. You can do, you know, like you said, you got the pineapple salsa. You know, your regular tomato salsa. You can take different colored tomatoes, like, you know, your yellow tomatoes and make them like that. And they're very simple, very easy. We take it for granted because we buy all this stuff at the store. And it's all canned and processed, you know, type of stuff. But salsa, I mean, you take a look at it, it's like it's some of the simplest things
to
do.
What's in it, Chef?
So this normal salsa, the salsa fresca that we're using, it's just red onion, it's garlic, diced tomatoes, tons of cilantro, lemon, lime juice. I put a little sugar in it.
There's a little sweetness to it, just a tad, just enough. But it's like that's exactly what I was just tasting.
I wouldn't have pulled that out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that.
Do you taste it now, though?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah, and that what that does is kind of cuts the acidity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're using all these you know, lemon juice and the tomatoes. It cuts it. Sometimes it gets too much. If you you know, make a salsa or you make a marinade, and sometimes it you know, the acidity gets too much. So that kind of cuts it a little bit and makes it more palatable, is what I find out. So very simple, garlic, and then you mix it all together. And the longer it sits, the better it gets. So
now
it's like tuna.
Well, here's another thing about the tuna too. Is the same thing. Is why I'm, you know, I always go back and teach this real quick. Is that tuna fish? Even though it's, you know, most people think like salads when they go out to like a cookout and it's like, oh, it's a sunny day out, and you know someone may have gotten sick or something like that. It wouldn't be the tuna. It wouldn't be the mayonnaise that hurts you. Mayonnaise is good. It preserves foods.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little tip for you. A lot of people, most of the times, if people are like eating Anna's potato salad, it's usually
Hellman's
the eggs. Hellman's
or Miracle Whip?
Either way, it doesn't matter.
But what's your favorite?
Hellman's.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Hellman's. So, but it preserves. It's a food preserver, so it actually makes it last longer. So you're safe anyways, either way on that one.
That is a really good tip.
I'm feeling so
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So are you bringing the tuna fish sandwich in tomorrow?
I'll eat it for you.
Wait a minute. We've got Puerto Vallarta coming in, I think, tomorrow. So that would be really stupid. So that tuna fish sandwich may never get eaten.
Well, you can have it for dinner.
I may have it for dinner tonight.
Put some salsa on it. You'd be all right. You know,
yeah. I used to hate cilantro. This is, we're talking 20 years ago. And then I saw the light and realized it's like one of the best flavors.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's got the lemony flavor, and it's easy to grow. I mean, once you start growing it, just, you know, it's great. So, and, you know, you get these other salsas, too. Like I said, your mango and pineapple salsa with some black beans in there, same basic ingredients. You start off, like I said, with your onion, and we start off with some multicolored peppers, and we got our pineapple, and we got mango. And then I also put, you know, lemon and lime juice and your cilantro in there with a little bit of garlic. But with this one, I touched it off with honey, because honey makes the pineapple come out a little bit better.
Oh,
and kind of flips it over there, and then it goes well with the beans as well. And then our guacamole is just basic avocados. Smash them up, and I take some of this, add it to that.
Oh yeah,
and away you go. I put a little sour cream in.
So that's all you do. You just add your salsa to the guacamole, and that's it. Mash avocado.
This style of salsa, the salsa fresca.
Right, the salsa fresca. Yeah. Okay.
And that just adds to it, because the flavors you want are from there or in there.
Exactly.
So if you're making one, you might as well make both, because it takes 2 seconds.
Two seconds, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're listening to Food for Thought, listeners. We're in studio with Chef Patrick Hall of Lakes Region Community College, and we are talking about Cinco de Mayo. We are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You're listening to The Pulse, 107.7 FM, and we are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall of Lakes Region Community College. We're getting our weekly cooking lesson, and we're talking Cinco de Mayo, and he brought these beautiful salsas, the salsa fresca.
Salsa fresca, and then got the mango. Pineapple, mango, and black bean salsa, and then I also did a fresh guacamole before I came over here today. So, and like I said, that's key with fresh salsa. You know, it's the first one of the first things that you, when you sit down at a Mexican restaurant, that you get, you know, and it's, you know, and that's right kind of sets the course for
it
you.
Totally sets the course.
When you start in on your meal. So
trouble is, I can't stop eating the darn chips. And
I know. And that's it. And you're full before dinner comes.
I know.
So you could be a cheap date when you go there, you know?
Right.
I don't eat the chips. I will take a plate. And I mean, you know what I'll do? I'll take a chip and I literally will take pieces off of the one chip, probably 6 or 7, and I'll do it like that. But then I'll, you know, and I'll take bites of it.
But even as like an appetizer, you know, a lot of times I'll go to a place because I like to get either tapas or something just
love
small.
That.
You know, so you want to have a few cocktails and you want to have some drinks, but just having a plate of this, like imagine just like little ramekins of three different types
those
of salsas.
Three right there would be like ideal.
Yeah, and a little basket of chips to go with it. And
all right, so
there you go.
Chef, tell us. What should we look for when we're buying avocado to make a really good guacamole like you did today?
Yeah, when you pick up an avocado, you don't want it rock hard, but at the same time, you don't want it too soft. Like your finger shouldn't be going through it. You want just right.
Okay.
And that's what you're looking for. You want to make sure there's no blemishes on the outside. So when you're choosing them, that's one thing. People always watch me because usually when I go shopping, I'm in my chef jacket, you know, for school. And I get a little crowd following me, seeing what I pick.
Funny.
You know,
I love that.
And the ladies are always like, asking me, they're like, yes, where can I find the avocado? You know, I'm like, I don't work here. I'm sorry. I get it all the time. Either that or cooking questions. I could ask you this. I'm like, sure, you can. Go right ahead.
So why do you wear your chef's jacket when you could move
generally
about?
I just shoot out of the restaurant. I got to go pick up something really quick, and I'm running through, and it's like I get a whole following. Hey, how are you going?
I think that's awesome.
Well, speaking of outfits, Carol mentioned earlier that on this date in 1913, the zipper was either patented or invented. And we talked about the fact that chefs' checkered pants still have buttons. True?
Some of them do. Yeah. But I have an elastic waistband.
Okay.
Yeah. So
he doesn't have that problem. He just
much more practical. Okay.
That's it. You know. So people, because my waistline changes so often, so that's easier than trying to fit other pants on there. So, but yeah, no, they have these new chef wear pants that we wear nowadays that are like almost like pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
and so a lot of them just come with the elastics nowadays. But I've seen them both ways. Yeah. So.
All right. We need to go back to avocados because, you know, whenever, you know, if I'm having a dinner party or something and, you know, you need the avocados, I'm telling you, every time I go, there's never any ripe avocados.
Yeah, no. And here's an easy way. If you wanted to get them and you're planning on having a dinner party and you find them that you could never find, they're all rock hard, like you said, what you want to do is you want to take it and you've got to put them in a paper bag and you leave that on your counter overnight. The next day, those will come in. Yeah, just like bananas, because it puts off that hydrogen that ripens it. So put them in a bag, let them sit for a day or so, and then they'll be okay.
Not in the refrigerator, just on the counter.
Nope, right on the counter. Yep.
Okay, that's a good tip.
Because if you put it in the refrigerator, it'll stop that process. So it puts off all these gases that they're going to make it ripe. So that's the easiest way to do it. But generally, like right now, this today, I found it. There are plenty of ripe ones.
Really?
Yeah.
I go, they're all hard.
All the time.
Is it a seasonal thing? Sometimes they're either better than others?
I think so. You know, I don't I think it is a seasonal thing. I also think it depends on the weather. I think a lot of the avocados that we get are probably from California. So,
they got to pick them enough in advance for the shipping and everything else. So if they pick them too soon, they'll be too mushy. That's not good either. It's kind of a fine line they dance.
Well, and the same thing, like you said, with bananas. You get them in green and they're sitting in there and they're all green. Well, it's because they change so quickly.
Right.
You know, when you get them home, you want them green because unless you're going to eat them, right away, you're going to want to just, if they're going to sit for a while, you want them
to freeze mine.
Do you?
I peel it and freeze it, put it in a baggie, and it's
smoothies,
in my smoothie.
Right? Yeah.
I learned that on the show. I do it all the time now.
Well, it makes
sense.
You know, when they start going bad too, like bananas, and they start, not going bad, but they start getting dark, take them, peel them, and put them in the freezer.
Exactly.
You can make bread out of them. You can make all sorts of stuff out
of them. It's like the cool, I never, ever would have thought about that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. Chef Patrick, what are you doing on Cinco de Mayo? Like, are you having you going to be cooking Cinco de Mayo? Are you?
No, we,
do you have a favorite Mexican place that you go to?
Well, have you ever been to Belmont? There's a place called El Humidor that is fantastic.
El Humidor
a cigar
is also
place, huh?
Here in Manchester.
Oh, so is it? Oh, wow.
It is.
Wow.
Although I did hear that it was like relatives. It wasn't the same owner. They were different owners. They were relatives. But I've heard that the ones here on it was on South Willow Street.
Yeah.
I heard that they went back to Mexico. So, but originally it was the same people. So I have been to El Humidor and it's very good.
It is very good. Very good. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's one of those things I've done. But, Cinco de Mayo to myself, I don't cook during that time. You know, well, now that I teach, I only, 3 days a week. But back in the day, it wasn't, when I was working in Mexico, it wasn't as popular as it is today. I find it more popular.
It is. I had some stuff on that, too, to talk about. It's, Americans think it is like a drinking holiday.
Yes.
Oh, it's not?
St. Patrick's Day.
Well, Chef Patrick, thank you.
Thank you once again
for bringing us this wonderful food and learning more about Cinco de Mayo and how to make it. So stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.